About four times a year, we try to do a special service focusing on different aspects and elements. And this morning, we're going to focus on a blessing. We're going to spend some time in just a moment after I'm done here blessing families with young babies. We're going to take some time to bless our young children. And even you, if you want a blessing this morning, there's going to be an opportunity for that. But I just wanted to tell a story that I think kind of sets the stage for why blessings are important. This is a story told by a guy by the name of Henry Nouwen, and he was working at a home for people with mental disabilities, and he was the chaplain there. And one morning as he's walking the hallways, a lady named Janet came up to him, one of the residents, and said, "Henry, I want a blessing." And so Henry, coming out of the Catholic tradition, reached out his hands and he began to use his thumb to trace the sign of the cross on her head. And she stepped back, clearly disappointed, and she said, "I want a real blessing." He was confused, uncertain what she was looking for, and so in an effort to buy himself a little bit of time, he said, "Why don't, during the prayer service later today, why don't I do your special blessing at that point?" I thought that would give him a little more time to figure out what it meant to give someone a special blessing. When he got to the prayer service, he still had no idea what a special blessing looked like, and he began by introducing, by saying, "Janet has asked me to take some time this morning to give her a special blessing." And as soon as he said her name, Janet got up from where she was sitting, walked to the very front of the group, put her arms around Henry, and rested her head on his chest. He didn't know anything else to do other than to reaffirm, "Janet, you are a beloved daughter of God. You are loved and you are special in God's eyes." And he went on praying that prayer over her. Apparently it was satisfactory. Janet stood back, smiled, and said, "Thank you for the blessing." And she went and sat back down. And as soon as she sat down, one of the other residents said, "I want a blessing too." So that person came forward, put her arms around him, rested her head on his shoulder, and he offered a blessing over her. But he said that the most poignant moment was once she sat down, one of the college students who was working there as a job, a 24-year-old young man, raised his hand and he said, "What about me? Can I get a blessing too?" I think that speaks to the fact that we need reaffirmation of how beloved we are in God's eyes. And so this morning, we're going to take time to just focus to reaffirm the blessedness that we have in Christ and because of Christ. Yes, I am aware of the time. And yes, I think it was worth it to take the time to spend that time blessing our families and blessing our young children. I want us to just spend a couple of minutes as we look at this concept of blessing. As we go into the Old Testament, we find that a blessing is any sort of a variety of good things that are offered to others. So you find in the Old Testament, blessings include prosperity, increase of wealth or increase of land. It's fertility, whether that be reproducing children or it be your crops coming, or it even be indirectly the things that produce crops, the rain and the wells, all those things are seen as blessings. Health, restoration of health, renewal, all of those things are seen as blessings. Situations where people show you friendliness and respect. In the Old Testament, all these things, when they happen, they are considered blessings. And I guess the question I want us to look at here is, if you were to try and track down the warehouse where all these blessings are stored, where would it be located? The constant biblical witness is, all of these blessings are in the storehouses of God. God is the keeper of every single one of the blessings. And so then it begs the question, what kind of a God oversees or owns the warehouse with the blessings in it? Is he the kind of a God that you have to go up to and you have to pry out of his tight hands these blessings? Or is he the kind of a God who freely gives blessings? The first time we encounter God blessing in the Old Testament is in the creation story. We're in Genesis 1:22 and Genesis 1:28. God blesses the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, and the people on earth. And we find that God's blessing is God's initiative, that it simply flows out of his nature. God longs to and God desires to bless his people. But then blessing will find itself as an action, as a thing that God does. So we find Genesis 12, for example, "I will make of you a great nation and I will bless you. I will make your name great so that you will be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you. And the one who curses you, I will curse. And all the families on earth shall be blessed." Sometimes God will directly bless someone. But on other occasions, we find that people will appeal to God to bless others. So you will find parents will bless children. Leaders will bless marriages. Kings will bless the people. Priests will bless the worshipers. And individuals bless one another both as they greet and as they depart. And so God is the owner of the blessings. The storehouses are his. But we know because of God's generosity, we can appeal to him to share that blessing with people all around. And the blessings will come in different shapes and sizes. The blessing we'll find will often come in a form of a prayer, a longing and a wish for God to do something. Sometimes it can seem very casual, as we find in Ruth 2:4. "Just then Boaz came from Bethlehem and said to the reapers, 'The Lord be with you.' And they answered, 'The Lord bless you.'" So very everyday, casual things. But sometimes it can be more formal, like the priestly blessing of Numbers 6:24. "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So they shall put my name on the Israelites and I will bless them." God responds to the request of blessing and God answers. As I think about blessing in the New Testament, I wonder how we offer blessings today. And I just want to point out a few ideas and a few suggestions. The first thing that we find is in Ephesians 1:3. That blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. So God still owns the storehouse of all blessings. And yet what we find in the New Testament is the one who keeps or who watches over those blessings is Christ himself. And so if one makes appeals for the blessings, they make appeal for the blessing in and through the name of Jesus. And that the only these spiritual blessings that we come to find, that they can only be found or only be located in Christ himself. The appeal that we make as we seek a blessing is always in accordance with his word. I mean, God has told us the kinds of things he longs to and he wishes to bless. And so as people who appeal to God's blessing, what we do is we appeal to what we know God has already promised, that he wishes and that he longs to deliver. So as we think about blessings, I want to just offer three, I think, biblical guidelines for what blessings might look like as we seek to be a blessing to one another. And the first is this aspect or element of appropriate touch. When there are blessings, you see people are touched in that. That's why Haddis give high fives. It's a way of honoring that. It seemed a little more culturally appropriate than sometimes in the Old Testament they would grab one another's thighs for blessing, and I just didn't think that would go over too well here. But there is this aspect of touch, because touch is an important part of blessing, to affirm that you are significant to God and that God longs for and desires what is best for you. That there seems to be this formula of either may the Lord or may God or let God or let the Lord, because there is this appeal to God that you're on behalf of someone. You're wishing God's good and rich blessings. And so you might say, may the Lord fill you with every spiritual blessing. May the Lord be with you and watch over your going out and your coming in. May the Lord give you whatever is necessary that you might fulfill his will. May the Lord be with you and give you peace. May the God of peace soon crush Satan under your feet. It becomes these formulas where we're asking God to enact on behalf of another what God has already promised. And the third thing that I want us to recognize about blessings is they belong in the intersection between someone's life experience and the Word of God. What we are seeking is God has promised something. We're seeking God to enact that in a specific person's life. So as we participated in the blessing of these babies and these young families, what we are asking is that God would work in them and with them as they raise their children, that those children will indeed be blessed as God has promised. When we're blessing the young people, what we're doing is we are wishing and we are longing for the situations that they find themselves in, that God would enact his blessing. And so I want you to just think this week about how you can offer a blessing to someone. Maybe you think about a parent or a grandparent or a widow or a widower or a single person or a retired person or a working person. You say, what do they need to be reaffirmed of in terms of God's work in their lives? And I encourage you to find someone this week to offer that blessing to, that God might enrich his good blessing on their lives. We finish every sermon with a blessing. And the reason that I do that is because what you see is this calling through the Old Testament coming into the New. The way that Paul most commonly ends all of his letters is with what? Do you want to guess? With an invitation and an invitation song. No, actually he doesn't. He does it with a blessing. Because as he writes these things and encourages people, he wants them to be sure that the very last thing he does is remember, you are precious in God's eyes and God is at work in your life. And so I want to offer these blessings that we have come to customarily offer at the end of a sermon. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. And then the blessing that Paul ends at the end of 2 Corinthians, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. As we finish here, we're going to be singing a song in just a moment, and I'll be in the back, and some of our elders are in the back. If you're longing for a blessing, if you find yourself like Janet and like her friend and like that 24-year-old said, what about me? You want somebody to pray a blessing over you, you'll have an opportunity to do that. So while we stand and sing this next song, if you want a blessing, come into the back and we'd be honored to bless you as well. Let's stand together as we sing these songs.
Oh, to be like the blessed Redeemer.